I was hoping this morning, Sister Cummings got up and she started talking about that. She made me cry. I was hoping it didn't wash contact out. I might be in a terrible, terrible place if wash contact I won't be able to see. But anyway, we appreciate, again, being here. We appreciate each and every one of you. And Brother Decker, I don't know if he knows or not, I got a little bit of a heads up before he asked me, because he asked Sister Nanette if she could get along without me this morning. And so she said, has Daddy talked to you yet? And I said, no. But you know what? I try to hide over there in the kitchen, hide amongst the stuff like Saul. Try to hide amongst the stuff over there, but you know you can't hide from God and you can't hide from Brother Decker. So here I am this morning. And with the help of the Lord, this morning, we want to unburden our heart. And the thought that we have on our mind this morning is the legacy left by living a godly life. Living a legacy, or having a legacy left by living a godly life. And we work with young people, and in a couple of weeks we're going to start back into working, you know, with young people, teaching high school. We teach 11th and 12th graders. And I guess part of the reason why we have the burden on our heart this morning is we see young people come through each and every year. They have a legacy that includes a lot of heartache, a lot of despair, a lot of things that, you know, young people shouldn't have to deal with. But, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, with the people of God here, our young people have a legacy that points them to God, and how a legacy and how a godly life can cause someone to prosper in the things of God. And so our text this morning is just one verse. One verse this morning. It is found in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And every child of God should strive to leave a godly legacy for those that follow behind. That's what we should be striving to do this morning. And that should be our goal, is leaving a godly legacy for those that follow behind. You know, as I was sitting back there, I was thinking, there's young, there's old, there's young families, there's families that, you know, that have their children raised. It doesn't matter what age you are this morning, you can still work on leaving a godly legacy behind for those that are coming on behind, for future generations. And by definition, a legacy is a gift by will, especially of money or other personal property, or something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor, or from the past. Some other words that are synonymous with a legacy is a birthright, a heritage, an inheritance, an heirloom. You know, I was thinking, as I helped my brother move last week, and we were moving some furniture in, he says, hey, be careful with this. He says, this was my wife's grandmother's. So she prized those possessions, those heirlooms that were handed down to them, or handed down to her. And he told me, he says, be really careful with this. This was grandma's. So there are, you know, it's something that we prize. It is something that we inherit. Somebody had given it to us. And you know what? I'm thankful to this morning that something can be handed down to me. Something could be handed down to our children that is priceless. It is priceless. A godly life being lived before our children is priceless. It's priceless this morning, and something that they can inherit. You know, as I was thinking, our family is growing. And I think about little Grayson over there in the hospital. He's had a few little challenges. But you know, it's like Sister Sherry was talking to somebody on the way in the door this morning. You know, we don't pray for all sunshiny days. We don't pray for those. But you know, it's those times when we go through challenges, and that's been our prayer, is we go through challenges, and as our children go through challenges, that they grow in these things. They seek God. They lean on God. And when we provide a godly legacy for them to follow, those are things that they can look back on, they can look to, and gain strength by it. You know, I'll talk about this a little bit later, but I, you know, through my stroke, through some of the challenges that we have had throughout our lives, Sister Sherry and I have been together and had our children, and you know, we think about the challenges, but those are things our children can go back to and say, you know, God did this for my mom and dad. He can do this for us. That's the privilege we have of a godly legacy this morning. Many are concerned with the legacies that they leave. You hear about U.S. presidents when they're elected, and especially when they're ready to leave office, they're concerned with the legacy that they leave the country when they leave office. Did the president do something good that will be remembered and affect good for generations to come? That's what they're concerned about. What is their legacy? Many talk about legacies of sports legends. There's many sports legends in the sports that they played. Those follow that follow on behind, they're measured by those legacies of those sports figures. Brother Michael and I, we can sit down and talk about LeBron James and Michael Jordan and who's the best one all day long. But you can see that anybody that follows sports, LeBron James is measured by Michael Jordan. And then there's other ones in other sports. They are measured by people that leave certain legacies in that particular sport. There's others examples of legacies left by others. You know, people leave millions of dollars to their ancestors, to their children. That's a legacy. Endeared parents are remembered by the legacy of love and respect left for their families. Wars, they leave legacies of pain and suffering to all those that are affected. Vincent van Gogh left an artistic legacy to those that appreciate art. Christ left a legacy of salvation to all that accept it. We will pass something, and if we don't get anything across this morning, we will pass something to those that follow on behind us. I want to say that again. We will pass something on to those that follow on behind us. What will it be this morning? What will it be? We all will leave a legacy. What will that legacy be? You know, when my journey comes to an end, saints, I don't want to be remembered for my worldly accomplishments. I don't want to be remembered by that. But I want to be remembered for what was accomplished for Christ. That's what I want to be remembered by this morning. I want to be remembered, you know, Sister Cummings talked about it, Brother Borders talked about it. And as a result of that stroke, you know, I pretty much recovered from the stroke, but I had that horrible, horrible headache. And it continued 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for months. Months and months and months. And it was about ready to drive me out of my mind. And I remember Brother Watson being here, and he preached a message on divine healing. I went down to be prayed for. And when he was done praying, he says, I want you to write this in your Bible that you were healed on this particular day. And thank God, God healed me. God healed me. But you know, Whitney was sitting down there. She had a hold of that Bible, and she was sitting down there with my wife, and she opened the Bible up and got to that point where I'd written that down in the back of the Bible. And she says, what's this mean? What does this mean? And so Sherry had the opportunity to tell her, this is what God did. This is part of my legacy, that God did this for me, and I can pass this down to my children. I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for that this morning. Appreciate what God's done. But each one of us are building a legacy that will affect generations that will follow after. And if we are to leave a godly legacy, our foundation must be built on Christ. Must be built on Christ. If we're going to leave a godly legacy, we're going to build it on Christ this morning. So here are some questions as we get into our thoughts. Again, we want to challenge your hearts. We want to challenge your minds this morning. Because I know that, you know, as I went through life, and as a parent, as a child of God, I didn't do everything right. I made mistakes. I've made mistakes. But you know, I appreciate how God just helps us. God helps us, you know, he corrects us in love, gets us all back on the right track again. But as we consider these questions this morning, when we leave this earth, what legacy are we going to leave behind? What legacy are we going to leave behind? What are we going to be remembered for? Are we going to be remembered for how we loved God supremely and our love for the saints of God? Are we going to be remembered for that we lived and loved the truth? Are we going to be remembered for that we were faithful to the cause of Christ? Are we going to be remembered for our steadfastness in supporting the work of God? Are we going to be remembered for standing behind our pastor? Are we going to, or are we? Is our legacy going to be everything contrary to what we just mentioned? And you know, the choice is ours this morning. God's given us that choice. But what is our legacy going to be? Our reputations speak long after we die. Our reputations speak long after we die. Our legacy will outlive us. You know, I think about people that lived, maybe the founders of our country, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. There's a lot of things, a legacy that was left by them. There were others that we know that, you know, have passed on, have left a legacy for each and every one of us. But our legacy will live long beyond us. And it's so important. It's so important that we leave the right legacy. So important that we leave the right legacy. As long as someone remembers us, or there is something as a written record of our life, our reputation will continue. Our reputation will continue. The legacy we leave is the life we lead. I want to say that again. Our reputation or our legacy, which we leave, is the life that we lead. Now let's take a look at some legacies this morning. Just thought of a few, but the Bible's full of them. But I thought about Abel. He left a legacy. He left a legacy. So what was it? He brought a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. That was his legacy. He brought a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. He brought that sacrifice to God of the first fruits. He brought that sacrifice. That's what he's remembered for. Now, while Abel brought a literal sacrifice that was laid on an altar and offered up to God, we are to be living sacrifices this morning. We are to be living sacrifices. Romans 12:1 says that, and it goes on to say, be holy and acceptable unto God. We need to live holy and acceptable unto God. So the sacrifice that we are presenting to God this morning, is it acceptable? Is it acceptable this morning? If it's not acceptable, why? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Why is our sacrifice not acceptable this morning? He had a brother that presented a sacrifice that was unacceptable. Why? I believe Cain, he says, oh, I'll just give God whatever I've got left over. God got the leftovers. Cain wasn't concerned about the sacrifice that he presented to God. We've got a lot of people in this world today, people sitting in church pews that aren't concerned about the sacrifice that they're giving to God. We need, if we're going to leave a legacy, if we're going to be leaving the legacy that we should be leaving, we've got to have a sacrifice or present a holy sacrifice to God that's acceptable. So are we presenting an acceptable sacrifice this morning? Is it acceptable unto God? And as God looks down upon us this morning again, is he pleased with our sacrifice? If we're not living in such a way that God respects us, how can our loved ones, our friends, those we worship with, have respect for us? If God doesn't have respect, then how can people have respect for us? Jacob left a legacy of deception. He left a legacy of deception. Jacob deceived his father into giving him the birthright that belonged to his brother Esau. Jacob was deceived by his father-in-law. Jacob was to work for Rachel for 7 years, but in the end, he got tricked. He got deceived. Ended up marrying Leah. Had to work another 7 years in order to get the one he loved. He was deceived by his sons. They led him to believe that Joseph died after being attacked by some wild animal. In reality, he was sold into slavery. I think about David this morning. He left a legacy of war within his household. David did many wonderful things throughout his life. The Bible tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. But he made some dire mistakes. He made some dire mistakes. And in making those mistakes, David had to pay for that. He had to pay for that. Right. And when Prophet Nathan came to him, said, you know, God's pronounced judgment on your home and on your house. And it's going to be a house with war within. And that came to pass. That came to pass. Now again, David was a man after God's own heart. Jesus come from his lineage. He took on the giant Goliath when the army of Israel dared not to do that. But again, what was David most noted for? He was noted for his sin with Bathsheba. All those great and mighty things, but when you mention David, one of those things that comes to your mind first is that sin he committed with Bathsheba. And then, not only that, but the murder of her husband Uriah. So we see, you know, we could leave a good legacy or we can leave a bad legacy. I think about the Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy. The legacy of the genuine faith passed down to him by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. What a heritage to have. You know, and I think about my wife. As I've said this before, I'm kind of a newcomer to the Church of God. I might say that I'm kind of maybe second generation. But what a heritage my wife has. Think about her great-grandmother and her grandmother and her mother. And what a legacy, what a heritage to have. But also Timothy had a wonderful heritage. What a wonderful heritage he had. And to have examples of genuine faith in God set before young Timothy that he could model and pattern after their life. Enoch, we don't know a whole lot about Enoch, but what was the testimony or what was the legacy that he had? that he pleased God. That he pleased God. And that's what I want this morning, is I want to please God. More than anything, I want to do my best to please God. What kind of examples are we leaving for our children, our grandchildren, and generations beyond? We have such a great responsibility. What a responsibility that we have this morning to pass on a legacy of godly heritage. Those things of God that we were privileged, somebody was talking about it. I can't remember if it was, I think it was Brother Dishman last night. He was talking about, I was privileged to sit under Brother Emerson Wilson. I was privileged, and I am privileged, to sit under Brother Roger Decker. What a heritage we have. I appreciate a pastor this morning that preaches the truth of God's word. And as we were looking for something this morning, I noticed a notebook, and this was one of those notebooks that I had written notes down back when I was in high school. And it was notes from Brother Wilson's messages, and it was when we sat up in the choir. After the choir sang, most of the young people and ones maybe that didn't have families, they sat up there in the choir. And I remember, this is just kind of a side note, I had to do an assignment for an English class. And part of that, and that assignment had to do with some sort of journaling or writing or whatever the case may be. And I actually used that for my English class. And I remember Mrs. Ayers, she was the English teacher. I don't think she knew what to think. She probably got an eyeful of all those messages that Brother Wilson preached and all those notes that I took. But that's part of that godly legacy that we leave behind. I might not have been able to touch Mrs. Ayers in any other way, except for maybe through those notes that I took on some messages by Brother Wilson. But what a privilege that we have this morning. What a privilege and what a great responsibility. To successfully pass down a godly legacy, we must model. We must model and reinforce what godly living is. And I believe that you would agree, that's not as easy as it seems. It takes work. It takes work. As teachers, we hear this all the time. You model behaviors that you want to see out of your students. And I agree with that. If you want to establish, what do you want to say? If you want to establish, routines, and you want to establish certain things, and it's just like when I'm first starting to teach students how to weld, okay, this is how you do it. I model it for them. And it might take once. Some of them pick it up. Some of them, it might take twice. Some, after the 50th time, I'm going, I don't know what else to do. And sometimes that's like it is with parenting. Sometimes, the children get it on the first try, the second try. Some of them still haven't got it. But we still work with them anyway. We model and reinforce. We model those things that we want our children to know. And so in order to model it, we've got to do it right, right? So we want to model and reinforce what godly living is. I think about, I always tell my students when you're welding, I want you to wear that welding helmet. And a lot of them, when they go to tack something together, they just want to leave their welding helmet up and they just turn their head and they tack. Well, some that works out for okay, and some it doesn't. But I just make it a standard procedure that you keep your helmet down. I don't care whether you're tacking, whether you're welding, whatever the case may be. And that was a bad habit that I established when I was out working. So it was something that I had to break. But also, I told them that I want you to wear your safety equipment. I want you to wear your jacket. I want you to wear your gloves. I want you to wear all of your safety equipment while you're there in the welding lab. The point that I'm trying to get at is if I went in there and I didn't wear my safety equipment, I'm not modeling what I want my students to do. And so what if I walked in there and I'm not wearing my safety equipment? What are the students going to think? I'll have some that'll call me out on it. Hey, Mr. S, you're not wearing your safety equipment today. There'll be others that will just kind of look at me, maybe at lunchtime. I know they talk about what goes on in lab at lunchtime. But at lunchtime, they'll say, you know what? Mr. S, he tells us that we have to wear our safety equipment, but he doesn't do it. Sometimes that comes down into our daily living. That comes down into our daily living. And I remember my father saying to me sometimes, don't do as I do as I say. And that comes to me a lot. Well, what kind of message is that sending me as a child? You're telling me not to do this, but you're doing it anyway. But how many times do we get caught up in doing things like that? Don't do as I do, just do as I say. We get caught up in doing that in our Christian living, in our daily living. What kind of message or what kind of legacy are we leaving our children by doing that? We're not backing up the words that we say with our living. Going back to that thought of modeling and reinforcing, we need to model the behaviors that we want to see in our children. What we want to see in our young people is just like, you know, when we work with our young people. If we want our young people to do certain things, we've got to model it. Children are good imitators. You know, I heard somebody say not too long ago that, of course, they're not Christians, but they said, their little child said something, and they said, where in the world did you hear that? Well, you said it. You said it. They are good imitators. They imitate what we do. They imitate what they see. God help us. God help us as we work on leaving a legacy again that we model the behaviors that we want seen in our children. If we are telling our children it's important to read and pray and be in church services, but we're not modeling what we're telling them, we're being hypocritical. We're being hypocritical. I don't know how else to say it. But we should be modeling what we're asking them to do. And our children know where our priorities lie. Our children know where our priorities lie. They watch. They see. Again, they may not say anything, but there's thoughts going around in that little mind of theirs. Well, mom and dad's telling me to do this, but they're not. God help us this morning. God help us this morning. If we tell our children not to talk about people, but pray for them, yet they hear, per se, maybe Sister Sherry and I talking bad about them or saying something about them, what message is that sending to our children? What message is that sending to our children? If we tell our children to be loving and forgiving, but we hold a grudge and treat ones badly, what message are we sending our children? Not only have we lost the respect of our children, but we've lost the respect of God. We've lost the respect of God. I've seen in many instances where children do not want to do anything with church. And a lot of times it's the ministry that gets blamed. Maybe it's the youth leaders that get blamed. Maybe there's others that get blamed. But Whether those accusations are justified or not, the question is, have we as parents done everything that we possibly could to model a godly life? Have we done everything that we possibly could to model a godly life? The church is there to support us in raising our children. But as parents, we are charged by Almighty God to raise them and model them, or model what is to be godly people. Now, although faith and godliness, the faith and godliness of our children is ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit, the influence of the parents this morning has the greatest impact on our children. We can say all we want. You know, I work sometimes, you know, when I'm working with students, it's not the students so much, it's the parents I have to deal with. I had one parent one time, and I understand there are some students that, you know, they get into maybe about a year and a half of the welding program, and they just decide that this just isn't for me. And I had this, there was two students, they were really, really good buddies, and they both decided they wanted to go into the Army. Well, that's fine. I applaud them for doing that, for serving our country. But at that particular point, there was about 3 months left of school, and they were done. And I tell my students, I just can't let you do whatever you want to do. I said, I've got a job to do here. And it got to the point where I ended up calling a parent. And evidently, he must have been going home and talking a little bit, because when her response to me was, can't you two get along? I thought for a second, can't we two get along? Now, wait a minute. I told her, I said, listen, I'm the one here that's setting up the rules, and if he wants to play by my rules, then we'll get along just fine. But it just kind of took me back for a minute. Can't you two get along? We can get along just fine as long as he plays by the rules. That's what I told her. But we as parents, we have the greatest impact on our children. Teachers have an impact. The church has an impact. But we as parents have the greatest impact on our children. And leaving a godly legacy is commanded in the Bible. Our greatest priority in this life should be to teach our children about God. That should be the number one priority, is to teach our children about God. When they have, you know, it amazes me, all the little children, they line up along this altar. It seems like sometimes it's service after service. They're coming down here to get prayed for. That tells me something, that their parents are working with them at home. That tells me that they're telling their children to put their faith in God. But we have a great responsibility to teach our children about the things of God. Not only to teach it, but to model it before them. What happens in future generations depends on what we do now. As I got into teaching 15 years ago, there were a lot of students that came through my program that had some religious training. I might just mention a quote from the Bible. I might mention something from the Bible. And some of them would pick up on it. But I would dare say that the majority of the students today that come through my program have nothing to do with any sort of godly training or church affiliation. And so when I mention something, it's like, what are you talking about? So what we do now, it depends. I'm sorry, what happens in future generations depends on what we do now. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's turn there. I want to look at three verses here, or four verses. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And that's where it's got to be, folks. It's got to be in our heart. We can't just have mere head knowledge. We've got to have it in our heart. And you know, our children know whether it's in our heart or not. They know whether our heart's in this thing. But God's saying here, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." So in other words, what that means is, when we're talking about being diligent, is we need to do this day after day after day. Any opportunity that we have, we've got to keep them, what do you want to say? Keep God before them. Day after day, hour after hour, when Bible talks about when we rise up, when we're sitting during the day, when we go to lay down at night. Keep these things before our children. But it says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Sit and talk about them," or "talk about them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy head or hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes." And you know, you look that up and do a little studying on that, and it's kind of a little more, it was, I forget what period of time, but the literal Jew, it actually contained four scriptures. There were four scriptures that they would write on slips of paper. Either that frontlet was strapped to their arm, or either that, or you see some where it's actually put right there on their forehead. Why is it put on their forehead or there on their arm? Because they see it. It's before them all the time. And so what God's trying to tell us here is we need to keep the things of God, keep the word of God before our children at all times. And verse 9 says, "And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates." We need to keep these things before our children, day in, day out, hour by hour. So how do we leave a godly legacy for those to follow? Well, as we mentioned already, live by example. Model what godliness should be. There's a saying, more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. If we want our children to be truthful, we must be truthful. If we want our children to wholeheartedly serve God, we ourselves must wholeheartedly serve God. If we want our children to make serving God a priority, we must make serving God a priority. We must make sure that our choices intentionally line up with God's word. The decisions we make are extremely important. The decisions we make on who to marry, the decisions that we make as to where to live, the decisions we make as far as a career and a vocation, the place where we attend as far as worshiping God's concerned, all these things, the list could go on and on and on. All of these decisions that we make are extremely important. Extremely important. And we must be extremely careful about making decisions on the fly. I know that there are times, you know, when things happen, we have to make some fairly quick decisions, but that shouldn't be an everyday occurrence. That shouldn't be an everyday occurrence. Now, I know my wife and my children laugh at me. Sometimes they get a little aggravated with me. But when they ask me a question, And sometimes it might involve a decision that needs to be made. I take a while. I think on it for a little bit. Maybe a little bit longer than what I should, but I think on it for a little bit. Because I don't want to make a hasty decision. I don't want to make a hasty decision. Because it could be putting our children in jeopardy, spiritually or physically. And I don't take some of those decisions lightly. But again, I know that sometimes I kind of feed my family's impatience sometimes. But again, I don't take those decisions lightly. I don't take making those decisions lightly. And again, I know sometimes we have to make decisions very, very quickly. But again, that shouldn't be an everyday occurrence. We need to consider. You know, I think about when we make purchases, and I've said this before, but I know that when Sherry goes, you know, she's very careful. She does everything she can to save us some money when she goes to the grocery store. But she makes it a matter of prayer too. She makes just those seem, you know, what seems like an everyday decision about going to the store, but she prays about it. You know, we've talked to our young people about being good stewards. And part of stewardship is spending your money wisely. And so we want to be wise in our decisions. We want to be wise in our decisions. Because again, a hasty decision made without giving careful consideration as to how what God would view this decision could be making a decision that has a significant impact on our legacy. And many times we make decisions that are convenient and take the path of least resistance. The tone of our values are set by all these choices. I want you to think about that. The tone of our values, the things that we value, are a lot of times determined by the choices that we make. Or you could say that they are reflective of what things that we value. So you could look at it both ways. So the things that we value, a lot of times, are reflective or reflected in the decisions that we make. So what are we putting value on this morning? What are we putting value on this morning? Are we putting value on the things of this world? Are we putting value on those things, you know, the temporal things of life? Are we putting value, and again, some of those things could be necessary, but are we putting greater value on those things than we are the things of God? Again, I'll remind you, our children know these things. They see these things. They know where our values lie. They know where our values lie. So if these choices reveal our priorities to those who are watching or following behind, again, if our top priority is something other than serving God, then what should we expect of our children when they don't make serving God a priority? And I know there's exceptions to that. I know there's exceptions to that. But again, I want to challenge us this morning. Where do our priorities lie? Where our priorities lie? Another thing, we need to equip the ones that follow. Part of our legacy is equipping the ones that follow. You know, equipping our children for life can be one of the most difficult jobs we have as a parent. We need to furnish them with the tools. I talk about with my students. I can't do everything for them, but I can give them the tools. I can give them the tools. I can help them and give them the knowledge that they need to be successful. But they've got to implement those things themselves. And it's just like that with our children. We need to equip them with the tools that they need to get them through this life. When they get hurt, whether it's physically or maybe they get hurt emotionally, as far as maybe, you know, I've had children that have been hurt by someone, maybe someone said something. Well, what do we do? Some of us, the easy thing to do is go out and try to fix it. Some of us I think all of us at some point in time like to be fixers. But what is that doing for our legacy? What is that doing for our legacy? We've tried, by the grace of God, when our children are hurt, either physically or whether they're hurt emotionally or whatever the case may be, we point them to God. Right. We take them to God. Right. We tell them that, you know, mom and dad can't help you, but God can. Right. That's what I'm talking about as far as equipping them for this life. Right. We need to equip them with the tools that they need to get through this life. We won't be around forever. We won't be around forever. What are our children going to do if we're fixers? We fix everything for them all the time. In all phases of life, it's important how we conduct ourselves. You know, I think as we go through trials, and we all face similar circumstances, but when we go through trials as parents, and as our children are looking on, and we tell them to take those things to God, are we taking those things to God when we go through our trials? Are we taking those things to God? Are we, again, going back to, are we modeling what we want our children to follow? Are we taking those things to God? Do our children see us in prayer? Do our children see us in the Word of God? Do our children see us seeking counsel from our pastor, from our, you know, from our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we modeling what we want our children to do? Again, this goes along with equipping our children for the life ahead. We also need to be focused on our mission, and we need to stay focused on our mission. When someone is sent on a mission, generally that mission has some sort of end goal. I've never been in the military, but I've read a lot about the military, and when they're sent on a mission, they have a goal to achieve. And that is their mission. That is their sole purpose, is to accomplish that mission. They are taught that. That's why they have basic training. They are taught these things. And you think in the midst of war, when all these things are going on around them, there's all kinds of distractions. But somebody that's trained, a trained soldier, they're trained to not focus on the distractions, but achieve the goal. And we as parents, we as people of God, we've got a mission to achieve. We've got a mission to achieve. But I tell you what, there's all kinds of distractions going on all about us. All kinds of distractions. And many times we get distracted by all these things going on, and we forget or lose sight of the goal that's intended. We lose sight of that goal. God help us. God help us. We've got a mission to accomplish here. God help us to keep our eyes focused on the goal, because our children and those that are following on behind us depend on it. They depend on it. And again, part of that mission is to leave behind a godly legacy for those to follow. And in closing this morning, I ran relay races in school. And in the eighth grade, we had a pretty good relay team. And it was coming down toward the end of the track season, and I think we had a meet where we had two other schools that came in to compete against us. And I ran the second leg of the relay. And we practiced and we practiced and we practiced and we practiced. And it doesn't matter how fast you run. It doesn't matter how fleet of foot you are. The most important thing in that relay race is making sure that baton gets from one person to another. And that's what we're doing, is we are passing the baton to those that follow on behind us. God help us this morning not to drop the baton. God help us this morning. God help me. I don't want to drop the baton. And in one meet, you have a certain zone that you have to make that exchange in. And I don't know, for whatever reason, like I said, we practiced and we practiced and we practiced, and throughout the whole year we never had a problem. But this one particular time, I don't know, I got the jump a little bit early and I was running out of exchange zone. And so I pretty much had to stop. Well, of course, that guy coming around the bend right there, he was coming in pretty fast. To make a long story short, we got tangled up. Now, I didn't leave my lane, but I went down. We both went down. And on that track, I got skinned up pretty good. It hurt. But one thing that we made sure of, we didn't drop the baton. And we're going to go through trials in this life. We're going to go through things in this life that we're going to get scraped up. We're going to get beat up. But God help us not to drop the baton. We need to protect that baton just like it is the most precious thing that we have. Because as a result of us not dropping the baton, we were able to still get up and continue the race. We were still able to get up and continue the race. And again, sometimes we're going to fall down. We're going to fall down. We're going to get hurt. But as long as we don't drop the baton, we can get up and finish the race. If we are careless with the baton, or God's legacy, or the legacy that we have, it will not get safely into the hands of the next generation and beyond. And we sing a song. We sing a song in the choir. And it talks about finding us faithful. I'm going to read the words of it. It says, we're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road. Just like those lanes on that track, they're narrow. They're narrow. And those who have gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives are stirring testaments to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those have gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light the way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live, there's the key, the lives that we live inspire them to obey. You know, there may be ones this morning. Again, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what station of life that you're in this morning. We can all work on to protect our legacy, to better our legacy. Maybe that we've been lax in some of these things that we mentioned. Maybe God pointed out something that I didn't even mention. Or maybe some just need to come and pray this morning about establishing a godly legacy. And I think about ones, you know, as I mentioned about, you know, passing the baton. Maybe there are some that have fallen. Maybe some have fallen in this race. You can still get back up. Just like Brother Dishman preached during the last camp meeting about bouncing back. You can bounce back. You can get back up and continue the race. But if God's pointed out something in your life, maybe your legacy is not where it needs to be. Maybe again, I need to work on these things too. But talking about modeling, you know, maybe sometimes we have a difficult time modeling those things that we want to see in those that come on behind us. Whatever the need might be. Again, our goal was, with the help of God, is to challenge you this morning. I know this message challenges me, and I appreciate that this morning. So if you have a need, come and pray about it. Come and pray about it. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful for helping us this morning.